Welcome to Journals of a Healer. Unleash your hidden genius with Mary Blake, author of Journals of a Healer, a personal account of ventures beyond time, space, and so-called reality. Available on Amazon. As a life coach, healing channel, and spiritual consultant, Mary is committed to providing a safe place to open your heart and mind to the remarkable potential of the human spirit. Join us right here every Wednesday at 1:30 p.m. Eastern, 10:30 a.m. Pacific Time.
For those who are celebrating it, Merry Christmas. And for everyone else, a very meaningful and joyous day. Sadly, holidays are often lonely and depressing for those who've recently lost a loved one or who are suffering in some way. It seemed the perfect time for today's topic, healing your relationships through love, and to introduce you to a friend of mine, Dr. Erica Goodstone.
Hello.
Erica?
Can you hear me?
Perfectly.
Okay, great. I'm so happy that you had this show today because it's a special day, and yet there are some people sitting alone somewhere that would be happy to hear the message.
Absolutely. We're together on that. Erica, tell us a little bit about your background. What led you to becoming a relationship healer?
It started where I taught in elementary school, and then I loved playing tennis, and I ended up teaching health and physical education. I went back to school for that, and I was teaching in a high school, and then I really wanted to teach in college, and I didn't know what subject, and I could have continued with the health and physical education. I loved that, but someone introduced me to a special program about marriage and family living and human sexuality, and that just hit home because I wanted to know all about relationships. And I did a doctoral dissertation about a topic, mother-infant bonding and the effect on long-term relationships and such aspects as intense ambivalence and fear of merger and fear of marriage and separation anxiety. And at the time, I had all that. So it was really great for me to learn about it and learn how to overcome that and what it takes to create a really loving and healing relationship for yourself and with another person.
Oh, boy, we teach what we need to learn, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Well, why are so many people having relationship problems today? Men and women are single much, much longer, and the divorce rate is way higher probably than even to 50%. What's going on?
What I think is that people are really putting their attention on the wrong things. They're looking at the outer material aspects. Like a woman is looking for a man, I'm just giving an example, a man who's rich and who runs a big business. She's so impressed that he's strong and he's capable. But then if she marries that person, he may be traveling all the time, he may have lots of other women that he connects with, and she can be all alone and feeling really insecure. That's just one little simple kind of example, but it can go the other way. A man can want a really strong and powerful woman who is an executive, and then he's married to that, and he feels so inadequate that it doesn't really work. So people are putting their focus on what they think they should want, or maybe even something they want, but they're missing, they're not really asking certain important questions.
And you're saying that they're going for the obvious instead of the intrinsic, the vital things that really would make for a long-term relationship.
Well, they do want the outer trimmings. Like, if you find somebody not attractive and you push yourself to like the person and you try to be in the relationship, that doesn't work. So you do need that basic attraction, that feeling, because that can sustain you through years of ups and downs.
Mm-hmm.
And yet there's so much more that people really need to look at.
Well, you know, it seems like back in the 50s, and almost three-quarters of the population was in traditional families, and now it's maybe 15-20%. What's causing all these relationship problems right now?
One of the things that I can think of is I remember all these coffee clutches. You know, women would be home, and in general, I mean, there were still women working, but they were, most women were home, and they hung out with their friends, and the women communicated, and the men had their style, the men communicated. People didn't feel so isolated and alone, and they were also closer to family. Communities knew each other, so there was a support system. That has really, really changed. It's like each couple on their own, with rare exceptions.
Well, what do you think really are the important questions to ask when we are having relationship problems?
First of all, it's even before asking the question, what's really important is to know yourself. Like, if I know that I'm more of an introverted person and I don't really like parties, just for an example, if I choose a partner who loves to go out to parties all the time, we could have a big problem. Some couples can work that out, but it's real important to know that up front. And that's knowing yourself. You also have to know what your partner is like, what they want, what they need, what they like, what they dream about. And if you're not fitting with what your partner wants and needs, you're going to have some kind of friction. And the other piece is to really know how love works. Like, love doesn't build when you keep nagging and complaining and bitching. It just tightens up the other person and they back away. Or if you want sex too often and your partner's not interested and you keep pressuring them, it's only going to make it worse. So you have to know how relationships work and how love works.
Well, you know, you just reminded me of something. So many people seem to think, you know, if they marry someone, that it will bring them into that state of being. I mean, like you're saying, you know, the gregarious person and the shy person said, think, well, maybe if I marry this person, it'll make me whole.
Right. So at the beginning, when they're dating, yes, it's wonderful because they go out with people and the talkative one keeps talking and they can just sit there and smile and listen. But then over time, over months and years, when they go out with other people, the talkative one is always talking and the partner has heard all that before. And the partner wants to speak sometimes, you know, so it doesn't last.
Yeah, what you're saying is about knowing yourself is so true. If you really feel whole yourself, then you can really have a more meaningful relationship, don't you think?
Well, also, I'm just giving this one kind of example, but there's all kinds. But if you're a shy person who likes to be home, but your partner loves to be out, if you're a whole person and you love yourself, and you have internal strength, it's okay if that partner goes out. You can leave them freedom and trust. The trust has to be there, though. You have to both really have a strong trust. But you can let each other be and do the activities that each one enjoys.
Do you think that maybe that's one of the reasons we're creating a loving relationship is so difficult for so many of us?
Well, it's so difficult because we don't know ourselves. We have these expectations of other people for the other person to fulfill us. And sometimes we choose a partner who really has such different interests that we can't spend enough time together. So we don't build the fun and the excitement and the shared memories.
Uh-huh. I see. Well, I noticed that you started out with health and energy. And you seem to stress the need for touch and for health. Why do you think that's important, and what does health of our body have to do with love?
That's a really great question. You know, if you're feeling sick, that's just an example. You have a stomach ache, a back ache, you're nauseous. You're not thinking about love. You're not able to be there for somebody else. You know, you don't feel joy. A person who's in pain is not like laughing and having fun and going out to shows. You know, they're not able to enjoy life. So the most important thing is keeping your body healthy and doing what you can to keep it healthy. If you're way overweight and you have a big stomach, you can get backaches. Getting involved in sexuality can be difficult. One person could be like heavy for the partner. So all kinds of issues that come out of not being really in a healthy condition. Also,
is there a way to use love to heal ourselves and our relationships?
Did you say how can we use love to heal ourselves?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's where touch comes in. That when you have to feel your emotions and be in touch with them. A lot of people, the emotions are kind of blocked. They have a body posture where I do a kind of body therapy and they lie on the table and it looks like the person is hardly breathing. So they're in this tight, contracted state. They may not look so tense if you look at them, but it can be subtle and they're like holding the breath, just not really breathing fully. So they're not really feeling what's going on in their body, not really feeling their emotions. So through touch, gentle touch, your body lets down. So even with a partner, your partner could be angry and upset and you just gently place a hand on their shoulder or somewhere. I'm not talking if they're in a rage, then you keep your distance. But I mean, if someone's angry or frustrated and you just touch them gently and look in the eyes, you're engaging their senses, that can make a huge difference. And a lot of people don't touch much.
This is true. Yeah. Somehow I feel that we're just nudging up to sexual dysfunction here because, you know, I mean, even having sex without the kind of touch that you're talking about has got to be, you know, sexual dysfunction.
Well, that's one of the major things that people come to when they come to see me. It's called desire discrepancy. One partner wants sex, you know, regularly and feels frustrated because the partner doesn't want it, loses interest. But it's an energetic thing. The partner that wants it a lot is intruding on the other person's energy space. They're coming on too strong. They're not allowing the other person to feel before they're already trying to have sex. And it happens a lot with men doing that toward women, but it sometimes happens the other way too, where every time the person touches is for the purpose of having sex. It's going to lead to that. So the partner starts to feel, if they're not in the mood at that moment, they don't want to be touched because they know what it's going to lead to and they don't really want to do that. So we need to be seducing our partner. It's just like when you're dating. If you're dating somebody and it's a first date, you don't go grab at them. But once you're living together, the partner feels free to just, I don't know, grab, but sometimes it's really just grabbing. They don't go through that warm-up period.
Sometimes a woman feels almost like she's been bought and paid for.
And a lot of women allow themselves to be bought and paid for a while. So, like men will sometimes choose a woman from another nationality, and if someone comes from another country and they're poor and they find a guy that's reasonably successful and they play the act for a while. I've seen that a lot where they are very sexual and they do whatever the man wants for a certain amount of time. And then over the years, as they grow up, as they get used to this lifestyle, their true personality comes out.
Right.
So
well,
it's complex, and that's why it's so important to know who this other person is and what they really want, not what they're pretending to want at the beginning.
Absolutely. You know, the physical and the emotional is is a big problem, but then what about spirituality? What does spirituality have to do with love and relationships? Does it make a difference?
Oh, it makes a huge difference, but I see a problem in there. There are so many people that go into spirituality and spout these beautiful spiritual words, and they talk as if they're the most loving person, but they have not worked out the real issues in their life. They sometimes have underlying anger. They have childhood abuse issues that they never dealt with. And as I'm talking to you, I'm realizing that it has a lot to do with the chakras, the energy centers, that they're from the Asian philosophy, shiatsu and acupuncture and acupressure. They talk about the meridian, and the chakras are from the Hindu philosophy, but all of them talk about energy in the body and that there are blocked energies. So in terms of the chakras, if the lower chakras have not been opened up and expanded up to the love chakra, the lower ones of your emotions and your sense of security and your sense of internal power and presence in the world, and then your love chakra, and then your throat chakra where you're able to speak and express yourself and express your creativity. If any of those chakras are blocked and then you espouse these wonderful spiritual words, you're not living the spirituality. You're not able to. As soon as the partner does something you don't like, you're going to be judgmental. But if you're in a highly spiritual space where you've worked through these lower energies and you are able to love, you can see whatever that person is doing from a broader perspective. Even though they may be insulting you and being very mean, you can see, maybe not in the moment, you might react in the moment, but you can step back and see, well, this person did have childhood abuse. This person needs to be handled a little more carefully. I kind of say being spiritual is like being a therapist with your partner. You don't react so quickly. You're soothing, or if you react, you recognize it very soon and come back and apologize and make it better if you can.
Well, I mean, you bring up so many things, and you're hitting so many points. I just want to say a couple of things. I want to say one thing, what you brought up about the spiritual people who are disconnected from the physical and the so-called reality that we're living in here. A lot of people that are involved with spiritual pursuits, they will say, "Oh, yes, I'm just here for spiritual things. My body isn't important. I just have to work out a few things, and this is my last trip here." But you know, if our body was not that important, why would an immortal spirit tie itself to this body for an indeterminate period of time?
That is a wonderful question. Why do we think the body doesn't matter? And, of course, there are also the people, when people are young, they think that they're invincible and they can do anything and they don't have to take care of their body.
Oh, yeah.
That's another piece in there.
It's true. But if you think about being a whole person, and you're talking about the chakras, well, to be healthy, all the chakras have to be flowing because the energy's got to get from one end of you to the other. And if you do have blocked chakras, you're not going to be all that healthy in physical terms or energetic terms as well as your spiritual, you know?
Well, each of the chakras is connected to different types of emotions, different aspects of your life. And the chakras are like horizontal. They're like gateways in different areas, and they look at them horizontally from the bottom of your body to the top. And the meridians from the Asian systems are mostly perpendicular. You know, mm-hmm. They go the length of your body, and if mm-hmm. anything is blocked anywhere, the body is a hologram. So blockage in one place, it's like if you take a hose and you squeeze it in one place, tighten it, and the water can't go through it, there's another place that bubbles up and expands. And that happens in the body, too.
Sure.
If we restrict one place, another place can get inflamed. And if the body is absolutely amazing and a gift to us if we pay attention and treat it well.
Yes, and if we respect ourselves and our body, then it's easier to respect our partner and their body.
And along with the body comes the senses and the emotions.
Yes, absolutely.
And if we respect our own emotions, like if we get angry and allow it because that's what we were feeling in the moment, and we expressed it, it may not be nice, the other person might not like it, but it was true in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
We can express our anger or our love or our sadness, we have much more room to allow our partner to express that.
Right. But, you know, what do you think about all of the blame? We fall into that pattern of blaming others instead of taking responsibility for our own feelings. In other words, instead of saying, you did this to me, say, well, you know, when this happens, I feel like this. And it doesn't matter who's doing it. You or somebody else. You're still taking responsibility for your own feelings.
It's so important to do that. The other piece of that, John Gottman, a leading marriage researcher, pointed out that one of the major determinants of whether a couple is going to stay together or get divorced is a certain look in the eye of one partner. It's a look of disdain and disgust. And when one partner has that look and that attitude, it can lead to divorce. So that partner may have that look and be putting down the other person without words, although they also add the words, and their partner can be the one that's yelling and screaming, but it's in reaction because they're feeling judged and criticized.
Right.
So that's why when we point a finger, they always say, if you point one finger, there are three pointing back at you. So you have to look at, what am I doing? That's the question to ask all the time. First of all, there's two questions. One is, what am I doing in this circumstance? Is there something I can do differently?
Mm-hmm.
Why is this happening? And the other one, I love this one from Neil Donald Walsh. He said, if you're in a circumstance, say to yourself, what would love do now? And right away you think, what would love do that I would be more loving toward that person? But it may not be that. Like, what would love do for me now?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I was loving myself, what would I do? And it's not only loving myself for this moment, it's loving myself and thinking beyond this moment that what I do now can affect how good I feel 6 months from now. So what would I do in this moment that would make me feel good now and also over time?
Yes. And I'd like to say something here. That's kind of important. It is a special day for a lot of people. And I'm thinking about love as a healing for our society, for our world, for our universe.
Well, in the Bible, it really is teaching to love your enemies. Like Jesus said, you know, turn the cheek and...
Mm-hmm.
You know, forgive 70 times 7. I'm not sure if I said that right, but,
uh-huh.
You know, forgive over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
It's right there in the Bible, and people are so religious and don't live that way. There are some that do.
It was George Bernard Shaw that said said Christianity is a loving religion if they ever practice it.
Right, that's the bottom line. It's beautiful. I mean, we're all in the spirit of Christmas, and people have feelings of love, and they want to give a little more, but it's not always happening all year long. I mean, there are people that are living that way and are giving all year long.
I think that it can be said of almost every religion. I think they're beautiful basic tenets for every religion, and we just don't live it.
And it's not easy to live it because life comes at you. You have financial problems. Someone you fall in love with breaks up with you. You know, there's a lot of pain and difficulty. And you work with people and you have problems. But the problems are there to teach you how to be more loving, what it takes to learn about yourself. You need the other people. You need the problems to see what you're doing.
I think an awful lot of people need you, Erica. How can we get in touch with you, the people that might be ready and anxious to work with you?
Well, the best way to get in contact with me is at drericawellness.com, and Erica is spelled E-R-I-C-A. That's drericawellness.com. And I also have a site for speaking at drericagoodstone.com.
And you're available for speaking with groups?
Yes, I'm available to speak, and I really want to. I really want to reach out to individuals and couples and help people to feel better about the relationship that they're already in. So many people, as we get older, baby boomers, we thought we were going to have free love, and people are maybe unhealthy right now and struggling not being sexual. On January 14th, I'm interviewing someone on my radio show who had prostate cancer and a prostatectomy, and so he's completely impotent, and he's writing about it and talking about the wonderful love life he has with his partner.
That's marvelous. And speaking of books, you have two or three books out, don't you?
Yes, I have a main book, which is my complete book, Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me. And I have that book available as smaller books and e-books and also as Kindle books. But I also have a novel, a romantic, sexy novel called Love in the Blizzard of Life. And they're all available at Amazon.com.
Oh, that's great. Well, this has been, I think, just a wonderful, wonderful experience. I hope that our audience can appreciate the great wealth of knowledge and information and care that you offer. And I just want to say this has been just so, so special.
And I feel the same way, Mary. You mentioned something that I had not thought of before about why would we have this body, you know, what is the purpose of it? And that is so important to remind people when they're not paying attention to their body.
Absolutely. Well, let's just take a second and do a little bit of the guided imagery here as we say goodbye. Close your eyes. Take a deep breath. And let the power of love just fill you. Breathe it in. Soak it up. It's all around you. It's everywhere. And so often we ignore it. Just pull it in. And as you exhale, let go of all the pain, all of the sadness. Take another deep breath and pull in the love. And let it fill your whole body. And as you exhale, let go of all of the tension, all of the frustration, all of the things that you feel are against you. Take another deep, deep breath and just fill yourself with this beauty and this love and this sensitivity and this awareness. And command your body, your mind, and your emotions to use this energy to heal and perfect themselves at its most rapid and efficient rate. Everybody stretch, take a deep breath, and let's say have a wonderful, wonderful year coming up. We'll see you.
Same to you, Mary. Thank you so much.
Okay.
A wonderful show.
Thanks for being my guest.
You have been listening to Journals of a Healer. Unleash your hidden genius with Mary Blake every Wednesday at 1:30 p.m. Eastern. You can listen to this broadcast again and all of the podcasts on srbroadcasting.com.